Well, good morning, everyone. So as I was reading through today's daily readings to come up with a theme for exhortation, I stumbled on a section that I have clearly forgotten about, but I've certainly noticed it previously because there are markings in my Bible which indicate clearly that I've looked at it before. So let's see who else noticed. So how many people are recorded as having seen God?
Any
advance on four? Yeah.
70
elders
as well.
Yeah. So, I'm getting up to, somewhere in the 80s, I think, is where I get to. So let's have a look through those. So we'll start off in Genesis chapter 3. So Genesis chapter 3 is obviously the account of Adam and Eve, and we read in verse 8, just after they have partaken of the tree. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." So, although it doesn't explicitly say here that Adam and Eve saw God at this point, I think we can infer that previously they had done so. I think it's a daily walk in the cool of the day that Adam and Eve are to walk with God. And in the next chapter, I think it's also possible that that Cain and Abel saw God despite the fact that they had been driven out of the garden of God. If we read chapter 4 and verse 16, it tells us that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. So it is possible, of course, that Cain and Abel had both seen God prior to this point outside of the garden, but this was Cain being fully banished from the presence of God. If we move on to chapter 5, we see that maybe Enoch also saw God. Verse 21, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." And we don't know how literally to take that, but it is therefore possible that Enoch was one who saw God. And the same is true of Noah in chapter 6. Verse 9, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." Now I think this one is less likely to have been a physical walking with God. Just a couple of verses over, chapter 12. "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." So I think this is God looking from afar on the earth and judging it to be reprehensible. And we know that that God cannot tolerate that evil, and so it is likely that he was distanced from it. I think the next person to have seen God is probably Abraham at various times. And of course, from the record, it is hard to tell how this worked. But in chapter 15 and verse 1, we read, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." So, obviously, in this instance, it was a vision, because it tells us so. But then if we move over to chapter 18, it tells us that in verse 1, "The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked." So I think there's a couple of times in the Genesis record where it tells us explicitly it was vision, and then at other times it doesn't. So presumably that was in person. We know that Jacob, in particular, saw God in a vision that was God-given. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 10. "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." So whilst this is definitely a vision, it is also a God-given vision. So it is likely that whatever representation of God that Jacob saw, it was, in fact, God. So then I think the next person to see God is Moses. And we have the accounts in early Exodus, the burning bush and so on. The burning bush, of course, it tells us that it was just a voice out of the bush. It wasn't necessarily God himself. So the main account, of course, is in Exodus chapter 34. But in order to get there, we have to pass today's reading. So chapter 24. And verse 9, as James read for us. "Then went up Moses, Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink." So, suddenly, as it were, who knows how long since he was revealed to Jacob, we have 74 people seeing God. It's no wonder that later on the Nadab and Abihu have the power go to their heads as they are part of this group. There are some fairly peculiar details in this account. Some that we can think of are very similar to those details in Revelation. We think maybe of the account of the New Jerusalem and the building of it. Because it says, there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone. But also this comment at the end of verse 11. "Also they saw God and did eat and drink." Perhaps this is in some way a foretaste of the kingdom to come. It doesn't really tell us why, but this is the account that we're given. And so then 10 chapters later, we get to Moses in Exodus 34 and the revelation of the character of God. So verse 4 of of Exodus 34. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And then verse 29. And it came to pass that when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, because the skin of his face shone, they were afraid to come nigh to him. So the glory of God was reflecting in the face of Moses, and it caused everyone else to be afraid. And this is presumably because of the declaration of God from Exodus chapter 33. Verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. If Moses had already relayed this to Aaron and the people, it is no wonder that they would be scared. But from this point on, I think it's very hard to think of anyone in the Old Testament who is recorded as having seen God. My head initially went to Daniel, because we might think it is the hand of God that is seen writing on the wall at Belshazzar's feast. But it tells us quite clearly in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 22 that it was sent from God and not God himself. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and that they have brought thee the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines, have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold, of brass, iron, wood and stone, which see not nor hear nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose ways and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this is the writing that was written. And this is the writing that was written, meaning, tekel, euphasim. So as we see, it is a part of the hand that is sent from God, but not God himself. So I think the next instance is all the way forwards in Acts chapter 7. Now, in Acts chapter 7, Stephen has been talking to the leaders of the people and all the people round about. And the crowd he gets more and more restless and more angry with what he's saying. And so he concludes in verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. So Stephen there in some way is seeing the glory of God. So I think overall there are less than 100 that can be said to have seen God. But it is, it's more than four. I think we very easily forget this account in Exodus 24 of the 70 elders that also were presented with this vision or this view. But then those in the New Testament are given a new face to see, as we read of in Isaiah chapter 7. Verse 13, and he said, "He now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now Emmanuel, we know, means God with us. And so, for a new generation, there was someone for the people to see who was to reveal God to them. God had, of course, sent many prophets to try and turn his people to him. But now, as we read in the parable, "Surely they will reverence my son." Now, it's a much harder thing to quantify how many saw Jesus in person. But it is interesting to think about how many saw the risen Jesus. After all, it is the risen Jesus that gives us our hope. And as with those who saw God, the list is actually fairly short, in most of which we find it in Luke 24. We read of Mary, we read of Peter and John, and then the other disciples. We read of the two on the road to Emmaus. We know that he appears to the disciples gathered in an upper room a couple of times. We know from John 21 that he appears to the disciples on the shores of Galilee. And finally, we know that there were those who witnessed his ascension in Luke chapter 1. And then, after his ascension, we can think probably of two main people to see Jesus. One of those we've already seen in Acts chapter 7, as it is Stephen seeing Jesus standing at the right hand of God. The next person, though, is Paul, who summarizes all of those that had seen Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, and then of all of the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time." Now we may be left wondering about Paul's seeing of Jesus. We read of his conversion in Acts chapter 9. But it's recorded there that he saw a bright light and heard the voice of Jesus. So I'm not necessarily sure when it was that Paul actually saw Jesus. So then, how do we see God? I think we see God in three different ways. Romans chapter 1 tells us how everyone sees God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So firstly then, we see God in his creation all around us. Secondly, we see God as revealed in his word. We've read from many passages this morning and seen the revealing of his character, and there is much more to read. Thirdly then, we see God in the love that he has shown to each of us in the sacrifice of his son in the remembrance feast we will shortly participate in. We also see Jesus in this same feast. We see Jesus in the pages of Scripture as the example of how God's character should be revealed to all. So the question becomes, how are we seeing God? Do we remember to see him in the beauty of his creation? Do we see him in the Bible, either directly or reflected in the life of our Lord? Or do we see him in each of us as we strive to follow the pattern set down by Jesus, continually reflecting the character of God? As we fellowship together in this remembrance service, let us each think of how we can reflect this glory better, looking forward with the hope that the resurrection gives to us, to the time when we will fellowship with God and Jesus in the kingdom to come.